Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst, you found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John, Adele, and RJ. Being joined right now by Scott Sajanak. He is from Perth, Australia, so he talks funny. So he's going to talk funny over the next few minutes right here. He has caddied for the likes of Craig Perry, Paul Goidos, Stuart Appleby, Trevor Immelman, Troy Merritt, and Anirban Lahiri. And he is with us right now in Houston, I believe. Scott, aren't you in Houston?
I'm in Houston, yep. Unfortunately, in Houston this week. Nice to have a week off, but as everyone knows, it's the U.S. Open week this week. And I caddy for Brant Snedeker now. We've slipped out of the top 50 in the world. Had to do the qualifying tournament last week up in Ohio, and we missed. So a little bittersweet. Nice to have a week off. It's been a long driving summer, but wish I was up there in Brookline.
What, so in your favorite team is the Houston Astros. What's your tie from Perth, Australia to Houston?
So ended up here by accident, really. Graduated college in Australia, 22, trying to work out what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. And I played a lot of golf growing up, and some of my junior golfing buddies turned out to be real good. In particular, one golfer, Phil Tatarangi, got his PGA Tour card and asked me, are you interested in coming to the U.S. and caddy? And I was like, cuss, yeah. You know, as a kid growing up in Australia, you know, America was always kind of like Disneyland and always wanted to visit. And to combine, you know, my passion of golf and visit the country. So I thought I'd do it for a year or two and then head back to Australia and work out what I wanted to do, and kind of got sucked into the vortex of the PGA Tour and the love of the game and competing. Clearly I was never going to be good enough to make it to the PGA Tour level, but this was the second best thing. And at the time, a lot of golfers lived, particularly the Australian golfers, lived in Houston or Dallas. And so I just settled in Houston, fell in love with the town. Grew up playing baseball in Australia, fell in love with the Astros, and here I am.
Here we are. Saj, as he's called, out there on the tour with us this morning on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. All right, so what's the real scuttlebutt going on out there about LIV and the PGA Tour?
Yeah, it's an interesting predicament, if you can call it a predicament. I look at everything, and particularly this, very pragmatically. Competition's good. It's always good. If you believe in a free economy, open economy, capitalism, call it what you will, competition is good. I think the PGA Tour will survive this. Clearly the LIV Tour has made a pretty quick entrance and a pretty quick shockwaves in the game, but at the end of the day, competition's good. The PGA Tour might have to restructure some things and maybe listen to the players a little more closely in what they want. There's probably going to be another player or two or three that jumps over. But at the end of the day, no player is bigger than the game of golf. PGA Tour is a wonderful platform to play golf on. It's steeped in history. It's, you know, it's a legacy platform, and it's not going to go anywhere. It may have to make some adjustments, listen to the players a little more on what they want. A big thing being an off-season. You know, the PGA Tour doesn't have an off-season. 48 or whatever events we have, it's basically year-round. So I think we can probably see down the future, and this is just me speaking down the road, there's probably going to be a shorter season, wrapping up at the FedEx Cup playoffs. I think prize money is going to go up significantly, which is a good thing for everybody, and give guys a break so they don't have to quite play as many events. You know, essentially now, you know, guys don't like to play in the fall, but they're all FedEx Cup points events. So some of the superstars don't play in September, October, November. They start up in January and they're, you know, 1,000, 1,500 points behind the eight ball. So I think, you know, some things will change, but at the end of the day, the PGA Tour is a great organization. It's where the best want to play, and I don't think that's going to change.
So Phil might have been right. I mean, as ineloquently as he put it, you know, he said this will give us leverage against the PGA Tour, and things will improve, and that's a real possibility. Do you know Phil at all? And are guys pissed at him on the tour?
I don't think anyone is upset at Phil per se. Phil's Phil. I can't say I'm friends with him. I know him. I've been out with him numerous times. He's great to play with. He's an engaging guy. He obviously has his opinions and thoughts. But at the end of the day, this LIV Tour, you know, you hear the rhetoric about growing the game. I want to play less. At the end of the day, money talks, and this is what it's about. And, it, you know, it's no different if any other athlete got an opportunity to play in a different league for 5-10 times as much money, they're going to consider it. And these guys have obviously made peace with that. It's interesting listening to some of the guys that have jumped across to LIV, and obviously the media's bombarding them with questions, and they've kind of dodged them. But, you know, just own it. This is about money. You know, I'm gonna double my bank account by playing in this league, and that's why I'm doing it. I'm not really buying the grow the game argument, right. This, that, and the other. They get to play less, and they make more money.
You know, and guaranteed money.
Guaranteed money, right. Which is unheard of in golf.
And you know, every other sport, you can play like crap and still get paid. And in golf, you can't. If you don't play
and
well,
that's the beauty of golf.
Yep. Well, but not in a lot of guys. Hey, I want guaranteed money. You know.
Yeah.
That's why they're there. They're getting that money. They don't have to work as hard, and you know the competition isn't nearly as good. Tell us about Brookline. What should we look for this week at the Open?
Brookline, what a golf course! It is a quintessential Northeast golf course, and for folks that haven't played any golf up there, a lot of topography in the Northeast. So a lot of ups and downs, a lot of blind tee shots. Very much different to the majority of golf courses around the country. This is an iconic golf course, steeped in history. One of the greatest things, I'm a bit of a golf nerd, so one of the greatest things that ever happened in American golf, particularly the U.S. Open, was Francis Ouimet winning in 1913 as a skinny 20-year-old kid that really didn't grow up with much and beat two of the superstars in golf down the stretch. Actually, back in those days, it was an 18-hole playoff. On the Monday, he beat Harold Vardon and I think it was Teddy Ray. But this little kid who grew up caddying on this golf course with a 10-year-old caddy on his bag took down two giants of the game. So it's an historic venue, old school greens, lots of slopes, and this is a golf course, and all US Opens are a test of patience, but this one is going to be the ultimate test of patience. It's one of those ones, if you take on too much, it'll bite you in the ass, but if you plod along, you're probably going to have a good week. But iconic golf course, it's going to look spectacular on TV, and I don't watch a ton of golf when I have an off week, but I'll be tuning in this week for sure. And I think, like all US Opens, but particularly this one, it's just it's the guy that perseveres, minds his P's and Q's, sticks to the middle of the greens, is probably going to be right there at the end.
Well, we got Morikawa. We know he can play. We know Koepka can play. We know guys who can play. Oosthuizen can play opens. Xander can play opens because they hit it straight, right? I mean, that's the key at any open, isn't it?
That's the key at any open, particularly this one. This one's not going to be a putting competition. The greens are so slopey and so tilted. We're going to find a lot of very similar pin positions. So this golf course was built 120 years ago, whenever it was built, when you couldn't cut the grass low enough to get the green super fast. So you've got tilted greens. The greens aren't going to be rolling at a 12 or a 13 like they do at other majors and at Augusta. They're probably going to keep them around a 10, which is what most golfers in Houston are used to playing their home track. So it's a ball striker's golf course. If you don't hit the ball out of the middle of the club face, you're not going to be there at the end of the day. You've got a lot of blind tee shots, and it's going to be windy up there. So you have to control the trajectory of your ball, get it in play, and then obviously crisp, clean shots to the middle of the green, and then take your two putts. And then every once in a while, when you get an opportunity to pounce, you got a wedge in your hand, you pounce. But ball striker's golf course. If you're not hitting it out of the middle, you got no chance.
Scott Sajanek, PGA Tour caddy with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Who are the funniest guys on the tour?
Chetson Hadley.
Really?
Chetson Hadley is one of my favorite humans in life, not just PGA Tour golfers. He doesn't mind having a crack at himself. And I don't know if anyone remembers, this is probably 10 years ago now, Chetson Hadley is a tall, lanky guy with arms that come down to his ankles. And he was driving by a car yard, and you know how a car dealership and those big, tall, skinny things that they blow air in, and the arms all flop around. And Chetson, when he plays golf, his limbs are moving everywhere. He's an excitable guy that's snapping his fingers and fist pumping and smiling. And he drove by this, I don't even what you call them, those big things that flop around in the wind. And he took a photo of it and put it on Twitter, and he just said, "Dad?" question mark. But he is one of the funniest guys I've been around. Love Chetson Hadley.
Any other guys out there that you can name?
I worked for Stuart Appleby for a long time, and he's a fellow Australian, and Stuart was as dry as dry could be, and he'd have me in stitches walking around the golf course all the time. But most of the guys, actually, you know, when I first started caddying 20 years ago, a lot of the pros were gruff. I don't want to say mean, might not be the right word, but it was a grumpy group of men. But this new age way of the players, you see their personalities a little more. And this, for the most part, there's a bunch of good guys out there.
That's great. Scott Sajanek, tour caddy with us here this morning on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Who's your favorite this week?
I think it's very easy to pick Justin Thomas or Rory McIlroy. I think both of those guys will be there down towards the end of the finishing stretch, but I'm going to throw a dark horse out there in Denny McCarthy. The guy drives it great, which is going to be crucial this week, and he's an unbelievably good iron player, and he's a guy that thrives in tournaments where you don't have to shoot 25 under to win. So I think Denny McCarthy, I'm going with a dark horse here.
Wow, that would be wild. Mito surprised us all, right? Mito Pereira, and now maybe Denny McCarthy will surprise us all this week. That'd be great. Mine's Xander. I think he's going to break through. He's always up there at the top of the leaderboard. And I like Max Homa this week, too. He's been playing really, really well this year.
The depth right now is unbelievable. So it's an open race, but I'm going with Denny.
I gotcha. Denny McCarthy. We're going to watch for him. Hey, that's great stuff, Scott. We really appreciate you hanging with us. Great to have you here, and our Astros are looking pretty good too, aren't they?
The Astros are looking great, and probably be popping over here. I live downtown, so I'll be popping over probably Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
You got to. Yeah, go see the White Sox. That's it. Go see them beat up on the White Sox this weekend. Scott, we appreciate it.
Thanks very much for having me, guys.
All right, Scott Sajanek right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. a lot of people were, where's Dell? Why is Dell not talking? Well, because that was Dell doing that.
No, I don't.
Scott Sajanek on a mobile.
I wouldn't do that. Scott's a real person, unlike some of the other Australians we've heard on this show before. I was just simply taking in the information. A lot of new stuff I hadn't heard before.
Denny McCarthy, you didn't know about him.
Yeah, I didn't know Phil was Phil. I heard that too.
Phil is Phil.
Yeah, I heard that. Apparently, Phil's just Phil.
Phil is Phil.
Which is
he's not. Which hey, is that
he's
a
not
lie?
Someone else.
Is that a lie?
No. When someone says the person is the person,
that's
it's a, like
it's who they are.
It's like, eh. I'd rather not say.
Not crazy about.
Yeah,
that's who he is.
Yeah, but that's who he is.
That's it. I know who. Listen, I know who Keith Tate is. He is the guy who started Pro Dunk Hoops, and he is the best. And it's not even arguable. This is the best goal that you'll ever, ever, ever have. It is. It's been every single thing, every part of it. The tempered glass backboard, the non-breakable rim, the stanchion that is unrustable, the installation which is second to none, the stenciling in your yard. Everything about it, everything is perfect. This first class is the best. And that's what you want so the kids can actually enjoy it, so that your wife will like it. You see some of these baskets with the white paint and it's chipped and the rim is bent and you're like, oh my goodness, it looks like a dump. So you don't want your house looking like a dump. You want it to, you actually improve the curb appeal of your home, and that's what the Pro Dunk Hoops does. So you're looking for the best goal? It's not even arguable. Go to ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Okay, never been
the godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Dell, any ideas what the listeners should do while John talks to other rich white guys about golf? He's a caddy.
I don't know. He's on
the tour. He might know a thing or two about the tour, Art.
Yeah, Art asked me that. I said, watch YouTube videos like I am. I told him to watch YouTube videos. That's what I was doing during that thing. I didn't listen, but I was actually watching things and reading up on things. I don't mind your golf stuff. I'm just glad I don't have to sit through it all the time.
Well, it's the U.S. Open. Look at Matthew Neesmith on top of the leaderboard with Colin Morikawa and Russell Henley. Just doesn't get any better than
that. Who is Matthew Neesmith?
He's actually a pretty good player. He's up on the top of a lot of leaderboards. He doesn't finish, but he, I guess he edges.
Oh.
No?
That's unfortunate.
Okay. If he doesn't finish, you know.
No, even with that, you eventually. If he's not, that's a different thing what he's doing.
Okay.
It's denial is what he's doing. That's a different thing altogether.
It is? Okay. I don't know the difference. Okay. That's all. I learned a new word.
Denial is a word you've known.
That
okay. A new context for the word, certainly.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
That's a new context for the word. Did you see that Army-Navy is going to be played in different places now?
It's always been like Baltimore, Philly, and New York, right?
It's usually Philly. It was at Veterans Stadium forever.
Forever, yeah.
Forever. Which is, you know, apropos because it's Veterans Stadium and that's where they played. But yeah, they've been moving to New Jersey, right? And they played, but they're moving around now. They're going to play in Foxborough. They're going to play in Landover. They're going to play in Baltimore, East Rutherford, and then back to Philadelphia.
So it will remain an East Coast game, though.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. 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 Now they could. That would be a pretty cool thing if they moved around, and because you know there's bases all over the country.
Yeah. Well, I understand why. Location wise, it makes sense because West Point, New York, and then you also obviously have the Naval Academy on the East Coast as well. But if we're going to move it around, you wouldn't fly to put it in like
Arizona or San Diego,
places where bases are huge. Yeah.
Yeah. San Diego's a big base, right?
Yeah.
I saw Top Gun. Did you see Top Gun?
Maverick? No, I have not seen it.
You haven't seen Maverick?
I don't know. It's fine. I'll see it at some point. I just don't feel like I need to go to the theater to see it.
Oh, my God. What's the matter? Do you not love movies? Why don't you help the industry? And go to a movie.
How's the industry helping
get
me?
Get popcorn. Sit me and you. We'll get some popcorn.
I don't want to sit with you.
We'll slurp some Cokes.
Don't say slurp.
Okay.
Don't say slurp. It's bad. Don't say moist or slurp. Don't say either one.
We'll share a popcorn.
Why will we share a popcorn?
Well, because why are you going to get two? Why are you going to get two when you can just get one?
Why would I share a popcorn with you?
Because we're watching a movie.
Put some M&M's in there. I don't want your dirty hands in my popcorn bag.
Put some M&M's in there. It'll be fun.
It's disgusting. You only do that with people.
RJ, do you share popcorn with people?
Well, not another guy.
When you go to the theater?
Not some guy, no.
Yeah? No?
I'm sure people in LA do that.
Even your girlfriend, don't you want your own bag of popcorn? That's how people operate, right?
You share it with a girl.
Understood. You share it with your girl, but you're not sharing it with John. Why would I want you putting your hands on my popcorn? Getting your dirty hands all over my popcorn.
You don't know where those hands have been.
I know you're not rushing to the restroom to wash them, but when you get in the theater, you're not doing that, are you? No.
No.
So I'm not. I don't want your dirty hands on my popcorn. I don't want us touching hands it's a dark theater. Both of us reach our hands in a bag. I don't want that awkwardness where our hands touch, grabbing for popcorn.
Well, that'd be a special moment.
Not for me, it
would. That would be a special, special moment.
It's a pretty clear thing. If you're going with someone who you're not having sex with, you can get two bags of popcorn. You don't need to share. It's unnecessary. Or someone you're not planning to have sex with, get a separate bag of popcorn. It's simple.
Apparently, so there is a tweet was sent out. And the word "if" was inadvertently left out. We are planning for a victory celebration. Houston is announced as a host city. We feel good about our chances, but we honestly don't know. It should have said, we are planning for a victory celebration if Houston is announced as a host city. So we're going to have Chris Kennedy on at 9 o'clock, top of the hour. Right here on ESPN 97.5. And then Five Star is going to join us to give us some insight into tonight's game and who we should bet on. But it looks, was that an accident that they put out there? That we are planning a celebration here in the city of Houston?
I never believe these announcements are not known beforehand. I never believe people...
Somebody knows.
Someone who is directly affected in the city knows. I don't ever believe... They walk in going, wow, that's a surprise we didn't get it. I think they have been told beforehand. Has been told.
You do?
Yeah. I mean, it's...
I don't know. Because in today's world, you can't keep anything secret.
I'm not saying he does know, but you mentioned we're going to have Chris Kennedy on. If he had been told, you don't think he could keep it a secret until the official announcement?
Yeah, no.
You don't think he could keep his mouth shut?
Well, maybe, but if he's walking around really happy, woohoo! Hey, did you get that champagne? We're going to need some champagne. Then all of a sudden, Specs, the guy, Chris Kennedy just ordered 12 cases of champagne.
You think the Specs guy recognizes Chris Kennedy?
This is Chris Kennedy. Here's my credit
card.
You
think he knows who Chris Kennedy is?
Everybody knows who Chris Kennedy is. He's running our bid for the Houston, for the World Cup.
Yeah, I know that.
Well, you don't know Chris Kennedy. You just moved here. Okay, Specs guys have been here.
Hears that name and goes.
He's a Dynamo fan. Chris Kennedy ran Dynamo.
Now you're adding things to the table that he might know. Now the Specs guy's a Dynamo fan.
There's a good chance if you work at Specs that you're a Dynamo fan.
I figure they have what? I mean, how many Dynamo fans exist?
If you work at Specs, give us a call, 713-780-3776, and let me know if you're a Dynamo fan. 713-780-3776. We're getting this thing. Somebody said, there's no chance we get it. Dallas is getting it, and they won't put it here, too.
Why would Dallas get it over us? I know they have a franchise, but why would Dallas get it over us? Because of Jerry's world?
Nationally, Dallas is looked at as a more cosmopolitan city. Yeah, I do. Nationally, I think that. And Houston is oil and old money and...
Houston is oil and old money?
And blazing hot. Are we going to do it in the fall again because it's going to be too hot to have it here in the summer?
They'll do it at NRG.
No, I know, but Qatar got it moved to the fall.
Well, yeah, because some of their stadiums are outside.
Right.
But we just have a roof.
Well, right. But it's still going to be 100 degrees in the city.
Understood, but it's still going to be.
Can you believe that they're so greedy? They took that money. They even moved the tournament from summer to fall, just to grab that Qatar money.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, FIFA's corrupt.
FIFA's corrupt.
I do. Like, apparently, we're getting people tweeting about how Kansas City has been told, or at least sources are telling people in Kansas City that they're going to be one of the cities. So people know beforehand. It's just the question is someone going to tell the media that they know? So we'll see.
Iskowski says we're not getting it.
Is that a known fact, or you just think we're screwed because we're Houston?
I mean, will you rent your home to hookers when the World Cup? No.
Will you move out? Will you take a month off and rent your home to hookers?
I don't think I'm going to rent my home.
Or how about just a fan of Brazil? What about that? They expect to have a long run. Why don't you rent it to them?
Why do you think that we are not going to get it, Iskowski? Just a hater.
Or that might just be Houston inferiority complex, that everyone's always looking to screw us, so we're not going to get it.
That's true.
Yeah. So who knows?
We better get
it. Dallas, the last time I was here, Houston didn't get it, right?
Here's the tweet. Join us this Friday in celebrating Houston awarded as a host city for the 2026 World Cup. Party details to come following the World Cup host city's announcement this Thursday at 4 p.m. Tune in to Fox Sports or Telemundo Deportes to watch.
In 94, Dallas got the World Cup bid. I don't know if Houston was even considered, but I remember it was in the Cotton Bowl in 94. So that there is a history of Dallas getting it over us, but that was a long time ago.
So where is the if that they were supposed to have it? Join us this Friday in celebrating if Houston.
Yeah, they just
award it. No, see, it wouldn't. That doesn't fit in there either.
We'll see.
Man, Harris County might know. This is from the Sports Authority
that they said they would get it.
Yeah, that we're getting it. Like, so there, Iskowski.
Why would you tweet out
if, hater?
Why would you tweet out join us for a celebration if we get it? That's a dumb. Like, if they actually meant to have an if in it, you don't tweet out if we get it, we're going to have a celebration. It seems like a tweet you don't need to send unless you know.
What needs to happen is Texas needs to bid on hosting the World Cup. We have enough stadiums in the state to host
an entire World Cup.
We ain't doing
that's
that,
not how
Tom.
It works.
We ain't doing that. We don't give a rat's ass if Dallas is no. We want it here.
And also,
it's cities, not states, to get them.
Yeah. Oh, and even I thought he meant maybe that Texas itself would just host the World Cup, not the rest of the country. Is that what he meant?
Oh, maybe. Oh, yeah.
It's not like the
just the country of Texas hosts it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, people have threatened to secede before, but it goes to countries. Only Olympics go to cities.
Yeah.
World Cups go to countries.
In
this case, three countries, Mexico and Canada.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It could have been Mexico, Canada, and Texas. Yeah, that's what Tom thinks.
Okay.
All right, what I think is that you need to drink Coors Light. Do you think I drank any Coors Light yesterday when I played golf, and then we played golf, and then we had a Calcutta? Do you think that I drank Coors Light? The answer is yes. If you answered yes, you are correct, because I had to keep Texas chill. I really did. Texas needed to be chill yesterday. It was hot, but it was windy, so it was nice. But you know what? What kept me going all day long was the great, cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Lights that I was throwing down. It's the world's most refreshing beer, and it's keeping Texas chill. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. So we're going to take a little trip this weekend. We're going to go to Florida. We're going to see the boy, and we're going to have some Coors Lights. This is going to happen. That's what I'm telling you. So if you're looking for the best way to enjoy yourself wherever you are, I'm going to keep Florida chill this weekend. You keep Texas chill while you're here. Keeping Texas chill with cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. It's the world's most refreshing beer.
ESPN 97.5. Godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Great talking golf. I hope you all enjoyed that interview with Scott. I know I did.
I mean, the tweets would suggest that they did.
Everybody loved it. Everybody, especially Art. He just loves when we talk golf. There's no question about that. What'd you think of minicamp?
I mean, guys in shorts throwing against air. Great.
Yeah.
What are we supposed to take from it other than Larry Tunsil showed up? He showed up for football activities for once. Congratulations to everyone.
Are you buying any of this Jimmy Garoppolo stuff? There's a story here about the Texans' secret plot to sign Baker Mayfield or Jimmy Garoppolo.
A secret plot?
Yeah. Would they pursue... This is Mike Florio. Would they pursue Mayfield or 49ers quarterback Garoppolo if either or both players are cut? There has been no indication that they would, which means that they're not interested, or that GM Nick Caserio is doing his best to feign lack of interest until one or the other or both are free and clear.
Is this a story, or is this Mike Florio speculating?
Boy, you want to talk about speculation, and I can't see
any scenario.
I don't see any scenario with either of those guys.
Neither one is good enough to elevate the Texans to a playoff team, which would be the only reason you wouldn't go with Davis Mills. You're looking for a quarterback team. And they're not really – they don't really want to be a playoff team, do they? They want to win more games, but are they really set out looking to win 10 games this year?
Yes, they believe that they're going to win.
Did they treat free agency that way?
First of all, they're cap strapped. But the Deshaun thing, they're gonna free up some money next year. But they're cap strapped. They've only got like $4 million. That's why this whole Garoppolo thing. He's making $24 million this year. First of all, I guess Florio if he's cut, then you can name your own price. Why don't people get this? That you want to find out what you got in Davis Mills. I mean, they drafted him. They might have gotten a bargain. After the first year, did they go, just because Russell Wilson was a third rounder, did they go, well, he was a third rounder, so he's not that good, so we're just going to, you know. No, you found out that Russell Wilson was actually a pretty good player. You got to find out whether or not Davis Mills can play. And I saw signs that he can play. I saw, you know, he obviously made a lot of rookie mistakes. He only played, 12 games at Stanford? Whatever the number was. I mean, he hasn't played much football. But, he doesn't have the pedigree. He was the number one drop-back quarterback coming out of high school. He didn't play all that great. I mean, he lost his job at Stanford to the dude that
KJ went... KJ Costello.
Yeah, Costello, that went to Mississippi State. But, you know, he played... His last year at Stanford, he was okay. He was pretty good, and then he showed signs that he can play quarterback. He doesn't have the pedigree. Well, he's obviously the 35th best quarterback in the NFL because he was drafted in the third round. What? I mean, he kicked head to head. He looked better than Justin Herbert.
Yeah, that was in that run for the Chargers where they looked like they were running towards the division title, then they lost 3 out of 4 and didn't make the playoffs.
And got their ass kicked here.
Yeah, Rex Burkhead running all over him. Justin Herbert threw a pick six. Just part of the Chargers doing Charger things. I agree. Particularly when it comes to, well, let's sign Baker or Jimmy. Why? Davis Mills can't produce what Baker or Jimmy did. Now, Jimmy Garoppolo did. Now, Baker Mayfield was hurt. He was beat up last year, so I'm not going to put all of last year on him. He was not healthy. He tried to gut through it, and the Browns are like, thanks for that. We're going to shiv you in the back. Beat it. So thanks for playing hurt, but get out of here. And now they're dealing with the fallout of all of their moves. So Davis Mills should play. He should get, if he's healthy, the 17 games, and then the Texans will be able to make a decision.
Yeah.
Particularly,
and if you lose, you're going to get a good quarterback that's coming out this year.
Yeah, and there are a
and
lot of
and you don't
even
have to pay him Jimmy Garoppolo or Baker Mayfield money.
Yeah, and why would Jimmy Garoppolo, I guess the question would be, even if this was a real thing and not Mike Florio speculating just about whatever because he needs to fill some space on the website. Why would Jimmy Garoppolo or Baker Mayfield come here and get paid under market what they would think starting quarterback market value is just because it's a job? I guess that would be the reason for them to come because I just look at that over the cap. The Texans have about $9 million. They're not going to spend – that would be – certainly probably less than what those guys would want, and they're not going to spend their entire cap space on them. They would like to roll probably all of that over into next offseason. what's the appeal for Jimmy Garoppolo or Baker Mayfield? I guess to play?
Well, yeah. Yeah.
But to get paid far less than starting quarterback money?
Let's face it, this is the least attractive job in the NFL. I don't think there's any question about it because... But it's a job opening if you think that you can beat out Davis Mills. But that's not the Texans' plan here. And listen, Jimmy Garoppolo was one big play away from winning the Super Bowl. He was last year. He was the Jaquiski Tartt interception away from going back to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. But he's not a guy that can put a team on his back though. And you know what you got to do here? You got to put your team on. He had a lot of great players around him in San Francisco.
A system that benefits quarterbacks, particularly quarterbacks who maybe are lesser than the top 10. It's a system that helps quarterbacks play better than maybe what they actually are, whether it be the running game, their play action, the design of their plays. Just look at the history of that Kyle Shanahan offense, particularly quarterbacks early on in their tenure in that offense. They play better than maybe they've ever played before. So, yeah, Jimmy's a guy who is fine. He's fine, but the Texans are looking to see if Davis Mills can be better than that. And if he's not better than that, they'll go draft the guy. I don't see the fit. And if I'm one of those two guys, I wait for training camp and a preseason to see if someone gets hurt before I make a decision to play for the Texans.
Well, yeah. I mean, but listen, there aren't a lot of jobs. You're right. The next job that opens up is going to be a job that where somebody gets hurt. Now, Seattle's a place you can go. Houston. They both need quarterback, but where else do you go? Oh, they've got an obvious need a quarterback.
I mean,
maybe Pittsburgh, although they just drafted Pickett.
Like Baker Mayfield and Jimmy Garoppolo,
maybe Atlanta
are better than I was going to mention them. They are better than the quarterbacks in place right now in some spots, but the teams with those quarterbacks probably don't think Baker Mayfield or Jimmy Garoppolo is a big enough upgrade, particularly if they're trying to lose games, go sign him.
What if the Saints struggle early with Jameis? I mean, they're a good enough team that they expect to win football games.
Yeah, they went out even with some of the players who had to leave because of contract stuff. They still brought in like a Jarvis Landry or Tyrann Mathieu. They're still trying to win football games. So the Jameis thing is interesting as a spot, but once again, that won't be decided for 4 or 5 games. Like, those two aren't going to sign there to be Jameis' backup and then see if Jameis is 30 for 30 Jameis again.
Yeah.
They're not going to do that.
No.
So I think it has to be, like, Carolina's the one that keeps coming up because there have been talks. But it feels like those two either stay in San Francisco in Jimmy Garoppolo's case, or Baker's just hanging around. He's still in the roster. He's been excused from showing up in Cleveland to see if someone gets hurt. Or is worse than they were expected to be in camp, and then some team makes a move. But Houston?
No. Why can't people get this through their heads?
Because he's Davis Mills. No one.
But Davis Mills was as good as Mac Jones last year.
No one watched the games.
No, but he was as good as Mac Jones last year.
But in the context.
But because he's a Patriot and he's a Texan, he sucks.
But because people have to make content, particularly a guy like Mike Florio who has to put out content. I don't know. I didn't know the Texans would be the focus of this, but he's not watching Davis Mills on a week. He just said, Davis Mills is there. One of those guys could play there. And honestly, maybe Jimmy Garoppolo and Baker Mayfield will be better. But for what the Texans are trying to do, and particularly with a young quarterback, there's no need to go acquire those guys.
Yeah. And Lovie Smith talked about Davis Mills. And you know what? And Davis Mills talked yesterday as well. But Lovie Smith talked about how his offseason work has really paid off for Davis Mills.
We feel good about him, improvement. You know, if you go through, I think maybe, I guess maybe 38, 37 days or so we've gone through of actual work here, and you're a guy like Davis, who's first guy in the building, last guy to leave, he's got a lot of reps, a lot of instructions, and I've seen him have... You know, make some of the type of plays that we know he's capable of making.
He is capable. He's got a strong enough arm. And then Davis Mills talked about getting more reps. You know what? If you bring in a Garoppolo or a Baker Mayfield, everything about it, it just doesn't make any. That would make no sense at all bringing either of those guys in here. Davis talked about getting more reps and how more comfortable he is.
I experience is a big factor in how my game kind of progressed through the last season. And, I mean, these reps I've gotten in this offseason are extremely valuable, and I'm excited to keep progressing. Obviously, I still have a lot to prove to myself and to my teammates to go out there and win games, but we're all excited for it, and I want to keep moving forward.
Attaboy. That's Davis Mills. That's our quarterback. And you know what? Love him or hate him, I think he's going to be fine. I actually think he's going to be progress nicely this
year.
I think he's going to put him in a tough position because they're not going to be picking in the top 5 or 6 or 7.
Well, they're probably at least right now 4 quarterbacks off the top of my head that are probably first rounders. You think he has them outside of the top 10?
I think he has them drafting around 10 or so.
Okay.
In that neighborhood. Of course they've got
multiple first rounders.
Equity, yeah.
They can make any move they so choose.
Yeah. So I do. I think he's going to put him in a tough position, and he's going to be like, wow, is he the guy? He's going to progress nicely, and we're going to have to – and now we're going to have to make a tough decision. Are we going to stick with Davis Mills? And you still got him on the cheap, the real cheap. Nats, anybody who's rooting against Davis Mills is stupid. You've got a guy, if he can play well – that you got him on the cheap, and you're going to – I mean, it's a win-win that you don't have to waste high draft picks on a quarterback. It's a huge win. 846 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. You got any thoughts on this? You're more than welcome to get in here on the other side. Right now I'm talking about GiveMeTheVin.com, and that's my man John Clay Wolf at GiveMeTheVin.com. You will hear him Saturday morning, much of Saturday, here on ESPN 97.5, the oldest show on the radio station is John Clay Wolf's show, and he buys your car. What he does on the radio, it's weird. I don't know that there's another show. Is there another show in the country where you call up, you tell him what kind of car you have, and he gives you an immediate quote? That's how good John Clay Wolf is at this. He knows the game. He knows everything about the game. He is the game. He bought $1 billion worth of cars last year. $1 billion worth of cars last year. That's how much he did. That's what John Clay Wolf does every single day. He's in every market now. All you got to do is go to GiveMeTheVin.com, put in your license plate, and start, and let's go. And John Clay Wolf will give you the quote. You throw in a couple of pictures there. It's easy. It can't be easier. In a matter of minutes, you're finding out what your car is worth. GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com.
ESPN.
97.5.
The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst, you found the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
No, Lance, Dell is in for him this morning, enjoying a little U.S. Open golf talk. Doesn't get any better for Dell. Now, you're not going to have to do this tomorrow with Lance, probably.
No, probably not. I'm sure we will discuss different things.
Yeah.
Things I don't care about that he likes. Just right. Like things I don't care about that you like is going on today.
Right. What do you want to talk? Did you bring anything to the table today?
I was texting someone last night about how pancakes are trash. Like, pancakes are, they're like the comfort food. You watch TV and it's like, I'm going to make you pancakes. Or would you like chocolate chips? When clearly waffles are the better breakfast food. Clearly. Like, if we're talking about what I want as far as a breakfast food, I'm going with waffles, not pancakes.
So, okay, you're not a pancake guy per se.
I'm not at all. Pancakes are trash. Think about, like, since we've been kids.
Why are pancakes trash, especially if you put chocolate chips in them?
That's another thing. Since we've been kids, we grew up watching television, and it's always been about pancakes. Like, you get up and, like, hey, Tommy, you want pancakes? And we're like, yeah, can you put chocolate chips in it? When clearly Tommy should be asking for waffles.
Did Aunt Jemima? How long have you been in the Illuminati, though?
All my life, I guess, because I've always been waffles over pancakes. From Eggos to if you even want to use a waffle maker.
What was on the box? Pancakes with Aunt Jemima.
That's another reason to say F pancakes. I ain't down with Aunt Jemima.
What you talking about? Why you gotta keep Aunt Jemima down?
It wasn't me keeping her down. Don't blame that on me.
What the hell?
I think the pancake lobby has done a masterful job of putting itself in a position where everyone makes pancakes on
pancakes
television.
Pancakes are delicious.
Waffles. It's easily waffles. That's why Stranger Things is the GOAT, because they lock in on waffles. That's a big part of a storyline in the show. But overall,
so does Amy Poehler in Parks and Rec.
Well, that's why Leslie Snope is one of the great characters
Leslie
of all
Snope
time.
Is
Leslie
one
Nope
of...
is Nope. Not I said Snope. Leslie Nope is one of the great characters of all
no,
time.
Her name is Snope, isn't it?
It's Nope. Snope is that is it real or fake website? Snopes. It's Nope. Leslie Nope. K-N-O-P.
K-N-O-P.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's why she's one of the goats, too. Waffles over everything. I can't believe people just fall in line with pancakes. Why?
It's not about falling in line. It just is what is. Pancakes over waffles.
No, not a chance.
Are you're a pancake guy.
Oh. Not a chance.
I'm a neither guy. I don't like syrup. I feel like after I eat syrup, I feel like I'm about 80 pounds heavier.
Yeah, it's not.
I'm not a syrup guy.
I rarely go with waffles, but when I'm picking between...
I'm an egg guy.
Well,
runny egg guy.
It's because you're an awful person. Eggs.
Yeah.
Boo.
Oh, no. I like eating...
Eggs are worse than
dead
pancakes.
Chickens. I like
eating dead chicken soup, but actual chicken.
No, I mean, so before they're even chickens.
Yeah, you like... You
I like
pro-
chicken embryos.
You like proto-chicken. That's what you're into.
That's what I am. Yeah. That's protein, brother.
I hear...
Oh, it's not just carbs and fat.
Beat it.
Okay?
Get the eggs out Go of my ahead. Face, too. What were you about to say, RJ?
No, I'm saying, so what do you guys eat for breakfast? I got one over here that says he
I
can't
don't eat
do
breakfast.
Either.
I don't eat breakfast.
Really? But if I'm going
I
to
never
choose,
if you're going to.
I'm going with waffles.
It's ham. It's bacon and eggs or ham and eggs. Over easy. Yeah. Toast and potatoes. Oh, yeah. No. That's it. Right. It's the way we go. And not. You eat pancakes for breakfast?
If it's placed in front of me, absolutely.
Yeah.
What a!
I ain't doing that. I ain't about that life.
What a what, Dell? What a guy, huh?
No,
you want to say what a guy?
I wasn't going to make a reference about you. I'm just simply pointing to, I was going to say, what a good job by the pancake lobby to brainwash you into thinking, oh, just go with pancakes. No, it should be International House of Waffles, to be honest with you. The fact that pancakes has that lockdown is ridiculous.
Max Holm is in a little trouble here.
Might want to tell people he's a golfer.
Everybody knows who Max Homa is.
No one knows who he is.
Oh, yeah. He's in a little bit of trouble. He's up against the fescue out there. That's right up against it. Hit a bad shot here on this hole. That's terrible. What were you saying about pancakes?
Now, I'm not going to talk about pancakes or waffles tomorrow. We'll talk about something else. I just wanted to point out that people who just go pancakes over everything are making a mistake. That's all. You've been brainwashed, but that's fine. Open your third eye.
I didn't know
say.
That this was an issue.
Think about since we're gotta go to the break. Think about television. Like when you watch a television show or a movie, and what's the comfort food? And like if someone's feeling bad, they go, "Hey, would you like some pancakes to make someone feel better?" That's always the food they go with. It's always think about it. Have you ever heard anyone go with anything but pancakes?
Yeah, gobble.
What show are you watching?
And the Sopranos. Hey,
in the morning.
Yes.
Gobble gold in the morning?
Yeah, some gobble gold and eggs.
What? Oh, sure. Okay, sure.
Okay. That's comfort
one show,
food. That's comfort
that,
food for
it,
me.
It's always
pancakes. I don't know about your comfort food.
First of all, since it's not a word, it was never said in my home.
Okay. You don't know nothing
gobble
about
gold.
Gobble
gold. I heard you guys talk about this earlier. Was it earlier this week? What is the capicola? What's this actually called?
It's gobble. Well, it's.
What's the.
It's
how's it spelled?
Spelled capicola.
Gobble gold.
It's gobble gold. And Chris Kennedy is next right here to tell us about our bid for the World Cup. Right here next on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And right now I'm talking about HRP. Your home for HRP. HRP.net. Mike Holly has done an unbelievable job. He's got Chris Fisher there. They are unbelievable. And I'm big on this leadership thing. I'm big on this on integrity. I'm big on... You know, giving a great value for whatever your product is. It's big for me. It is. And I love that all my clients, I feel that way about it. And I feel that way about HRP as well. When they explain to me the business, because I don't know the HR and payroll game. They explain that, you know what, listen, there's companies out there that they're guising themselves as HR and payroll companies, but then what they're doing is they're putting their benefits packages on top of that, and they're forcing you to take those. And you're like, wait a minute, this is really not a good value at all. When HRP ain't doing that, what HRP is doing is they're giving you the HR and the payroll, and they're giving you it at a great price and a great value, and then they're letting you select your own benefits and insurance packages, 401ks, all of that stuff. So if you're looking for that kind of company, this is who you need to be with. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
We'll take a short break. Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.